Chapter 14. How do you say party in French?
Bonjour! Vive la France! We're here! We're here!
Paris, the land of romance, of fashion, of cheese. It's 10 o'clock in Paris, 6 hours later, and much darker than it is at home. It also smells different, better, perfumey. New York smells like egg rolls and dryer sheets. Imagine if instead of lavender or garden spring, you could buy scents like Paris and New York. Maybe I should become a professional perfumer.
Look how big it is,
Miri exclaims, gazing up at the Eiffel Tower. She slides off my back.
Both your shoes still on this time?
I drop the batteries into my silver clutch, a.k.a. my magically altered school bag. Yep. You?
Yep. Let's go.
She teeters ahead in my mom's shoes, not used to walking in heels.
I think that's a bouncer,
I whisper, motioning to a woman in a black cloak in front of the door.
We're on the guest list, right?
Miri nods.
I hope. I heard that they enchant the whole place, so Notches and Norlocks can't even see the party. How cool is that?
But what if some tourist tries to crash?
The bouncer tells him it's closed for a private party.
But what about the person who runs the Eiffel Tower? Someone has to know what's going on. Miri shrugs.
Maybe they just pause him or something.
Votre nom?
The bouncer asks.
I'm Miri Weinstein, my sister says.
The bouncer studies her list.
I have you.
She turns to me.
And you are Rachel?
Oui. Magic bouncers, the best bouncers ever. Not that I've ever been to anything that's required a non-magical bouncer before, but still, she seems very effective.
Give me your hands, she barks.
Huh? You need a hand? Do you need us to help you with something? Maybe she's not as good as I thought.
Your hands.
She takes my hand and stamps the back of it with a hologram of the Eiffel Tower. She stamps Miri's next.
Touch,
she instructs. Miri and I look at each other, shrug, and then simultaneously touch our stamps.
Vroom!
We are vaulted to a restaurant at the top of the tower. After landing, I reach out for something to steady my trembling body and accidentally yank the edge of a black tablecloth.
Uh-oh.
I watch the glasses on top of said tablecloth all tip over in slow motion. I slam my eyes shut and wait for the sound of breaking glass. Instead, I hear,
"You sure know how to make an entrance."
I open my eyes to see Gwendolyn wiggling her fingers. Glasses magically upright themselves.
Thanks, I say gratefully. She smiles.
It's all good.
At least we didn't disrupt anyone's dinner. No one is sitting at the table. All the guests, I'm guessing about 100, are dancing to a live band.
You look great, I tell her. And she does.
She's in a dark black gown, beaded with shimmering black pearls.
Your hair is perfect.
Her hair has been styled into a short bob. After the gum trauma, we called Estée's salon and begged them to squeeze Gwendolyn in that afternoon. She definitely doesn't look like Rapunzel anymore, that's for sure. More like Snow White. Plus, I convinced her to get rid of the black nail polish and paint her nails baby pink. We're standing right beside the crowded dance floor. Everyone is in formal wear. The adults are in dark suits and long dresses. The teens are also all dressed up. The girls are wearing tea-length dresses, and the boys are wearing suits.
Where do we put our gift?
Miri asks her. Gwendolyn walks us to a pile of presents near the bar. We wondered what to get. What do you buy for a guy who can zap up anything? Gwendolyn told us it's traditional to bring jars of rare spices to a sim.
So the guy can make up new spells, maybe?
We weren't sure what to spend, so we went to a fancy rare spice store called Penzi's and bought him an 8-jar Baker's Assortment gift box. We attached a card thanking him for having us. I hope he doesn't stare at the "From Rachel and Mary Weinstein," then turn to his family and say, "Who?" or "Key?"
"My mom is motioning to me,"
Gwendolyn says with a sigh.
"She wants to introduce me to all her Charmory friends. I'll be back soon."
"Do I look okay?"
Mary asks self-consciously when it's just the two of us.
"Still amazing," I say for the fifth time.
Her green dress looks gorgeous, and she did a great job with the eyeshadow. We only went through a half bottle of makeup remover. I look pretty good, too, if I must say so myself. Mary insisted I change the color of my prom dress from green to silver because her dress is green and she didn't want us to look like twins. Of course, I wanted to look like twins. Fun. But she was strongly against it. I tried to turn my dress heliotrope, but the shade I came up with made me look like a grape. I hope the Samsorta cosmetologists know what they're doing. I straightened my hair, too, and it's extra glam.
"I hope Pra's coming," Miri says.
"After all this effort, he'd better be." "Didn't he tell you he was?"
"Yeah, but what if he doesn't? And I got all dressed up and he's not even here."
She turns white.
"I see him. He's here. He's dancing. Don't look."
I look. Pra is indeed on the dance floor, boogieing it up and looking extra adorable and freckly in a dark gray suit.
"I told you not to look,"
Mary cries. She nibbles at her fingers.
"What if I freeze up again?"
"Calm down," I say in my most soothing voice. I pull her fingers away from her mouth. I should have gotten her a manicure after the makeup lesson. "What are you so nervous about? You've been my witch booking with him all week. You'll have plenty to talk about."
"My witch booking isn't the same as talking in person. Help! What do I do?"
"Eye contact. Smile. And relax," I instruct. Just then, Pra spots us, smiles, and comes over.
"You're here."
"Yep,"
Mary says, looking at the ground.
"Hey."
"Hi, Pra," I say. I poke Mary in the side.
"Eye contact,"
I whisper. She looks up.
"Y'all look nice,"
he says, but keeps his eyes on Mary.
"Aw,
you look very nice, too," I say. He blushes.
"How was your French quiz?"
he asks Mary.
"Not bad,"
she says.
"How was your Spanish one?"
"Not awful."
Silence.
More silence.
Uh-oh. Mary gives me a desperate look, so I jump in. "Have you ever been to Paris before?" I ask him.
"Yeah," he says. "I was here last Sunday for brunch with my parents. I mean, my mom and stepdad. My parents are divorced. Did I tell you that already?"
He turns red.
He's babbling. Talking to Mary is making him nervous. How cute!
I squeeze Mary's arm.
"Oh,"
Mary says, picking at her fingers.
"Cool. Not cool because your parents are divorced. Cool because..."
She drifts off and looks helplessly back to the floor.
"Because mine are too?"
She is really struggling here. Should I cause a distraction? Pull on another tablecloth?
"Pra,"
Mary says decisively.
"Let's dance."
"Oh my God. Mary! I did not see that coming, but way to go."
Now she doesn't have to talk at all, but she does have to make it to the dance floor. She teeters in her heels, and I worry she's going to do a face dive, but But Pra takes her hand and steadies her. Aww. I look around the room for someone to talk to. Adam, where are you? The dance floor is too crowded to make people out. I could stand here alone like a wallflower, or... I head outside to see the view. Pretty. The lights of the city shimmer.
Don't you want to dance?
I hear a voice behind me. I smile when I see Adam. He looks very handsome in his suit. There you are.
Looking for me, huh?
I flush. I don't want him getting the wrong idea.
I'm teasing you,
he says.
You clean up nice.
Why, thank you. So do you. He motions inside.
Want to dance?
Would Raph care if I danced with Adam? As a friend, of course. I would, I say, but I'm the world's worst dancer.
I'm not exactly dancing with the stars material either,
he says. There's a dancing spell, you know.
I haven't tried it. You?
Oh, yeah, I say. You do not want to hear that story.
I think I do, he says, his eyes crinkling.
Okay, you asked for it. I put my hands on my hips. My school had a fashion show, and I really, really wanted to be in it. Then I giggle. I can't believe I'm telling this ridiculous story. I've never had anyone to tell it to. Or, really, I've never had anyone I could tell it to.
Let me guess,
he says. You were the star.
Not quite,
I say, giggling again. See, my mom reversed the spell 1 minute before the show.
No.
Yes, I was a disaster. Actually, I beheaded the faux Eiffel Tower. He presses his index finger against my lips.
Shh, don't say that too loud here. It might get you tossed off.
A boy is touching me, touching my lips. A boy who is not Raph is touching my lips. I take a step back, away, and grip the railing behind me. I don't think Raph would want another boy touching my lips. I don't think I want another boy touching my lips. I better hold on tight then. I giggle again, this time out of uneasiness. What about you? I ask, anxious to keep this light. Ever done any crazy spells? He holds on to the railing beside me.
When I first got my powers, I wanted to be on the football team.
Who doesn't?
Exactly. So I found a strong arm spell and then tried out for quarterback.
Did it work?
I shot the ball about 1,000 yards.
He does a slow motion impression of himself throwing the ball, which includes funny facial expressions.
They thought I was bionic.
So you made the team? I say, laughing.
Yep. Starting quarterback.
Congrats.
Not so much. I had strength, but no aim. My first throw, I accidentally hit the coach. Broke his nose.
He does a slow motion impression of the coach grabbing his face. I wince and then laugh. Adam gets what I'm going through. He gets my pain. He gets me. The band finishes its song and a crowd of people come out for air. Karen, Viv, Michael, and the triplets join us, and then Wendelin and her friends from charm school, Imogene, who's English, and Anne, who's Scottish, come out and once again we're a group.
Hey, have you tried the ghost spell?
Karen asks me.
No, I say. Should I?
It's the best,
Glamour Triplet says. The rest of the group murmurs their agreement.
That's the spell you use to go to Hawaii, right?
Yeah,
Michael says.
It's made from brown sugar and baby powder and some other stuff, too.
Do you want me to write it out for you? Karen asks.
Sure, I say. Thanks.
She zaps up paper and a pen and magically maneuvers the ladder to write out a spell.
We have extra mix, Preppy Triplet says. I can give you some if you want to try it home tonight.
Thanks! How awesome are my new witch friends? So awesome! Did one of you make it up? Do you share spells? Do they all get together and trade them like recipes?
It appeared in the spell book last week, Adam says.
Spells appear in the book?
Every so often,
Viv says.
Haven't you noticed? Karen asks.
Oh, yeah, for sure, I say, biting my lip. Not.
You so never noticed, Adam says, teasing. That's why the page numbers get messed up. People add content. That's how they stay current. It's like Wikipedia,
Michael explains.
I've added a few, Viv says.
She's wearing a very cool black flapper dress.
I made up the clear skin spell last year.
No way! I used that spell.
I give her a high five.
How do you add spells? I didn't know you could.
Yo, you know the blank page at the end? Just write it in there.
If it works, the book absorbs it.
Cool. I wonder if it would like my bathtub plug spell. Nah, probably not my best one. But my outfit color changer definitely deserves its place in the canon. When it's time for dessert, I pile my plate high with freshly baked cookies, fancy French pastries, and fruit. Yum. Now, where to sit? Where's Miri? I spot her on the dance floor, still boogieing it up with Pra. Those two have not taken a break all night. How are her feet not killing her? Mine are all blistered, and I haven't even danced. I look down at her feet and realize that she's shoeless. Aha! Smart girl.
Rachel, come sit.
Adam pulls out the chair beside him. Isn't he sweet? I sit down and kick off my heels. I put my plate between us. Dig in.
Having fun?
He asks, helping himself to a cookie. Yeah, I say. Sims are wild and crazy. He leans back in his chair.
You're gonna have to come to mine, you know.
Yes, an invite. I'd be happy to. How long have you had your powers again?
Since last September,
he says, reaching for another cookie.
You got them over the summer, yeah?
Yeah, but get this. I motion him closer, and he leans in. My lucky duck sister got them 4 months before I did.
Ouch,
he says. His breath smells like chocolate. Do you have any siblings?
2 younger brothers. I was the first to get powers, though. But both my parents are witches, so I've pretty much spent my whole life waiting for them.
At least you knew what to expect. My mom didn't tell us that we were witches. She was a non-practicing witch. I knew nothing about... I wave my arms around the room. Any of this.
Seriously?
Seriously, I say. He moves his chair closer to mine.
So, you grew up like a notch?
Yeah. We're only a few inches apart, and his knee is grazing mine under the table. Is he doing that on purpose?
No,
I'm sure he isn't. I pull away anyway. Hey, they don't know you're a warlock at school, do they?
No way.
He says,
I keep my lives separate. Magic life,
regular life. Witch friends, school friends.
Does everyone do that?
Because if it were up to Wendolyn, she would have told the entire school about us.
He laughs.
I think it depends on the family and where you live. New York City is pretty liberal.
I'd rather keep my witchiness a secret. Any tips? I'm a newbie.
It helps to tell your school friends that you have a country house, so they understand why you're never around on the weekends.
Clever, I say. But I'm not sure that my dad would believe that I bought myself a country house.
Your dad doesn't know? That's rough.
Our eyes lock. He touches my shoulder. I freeze.
Call it witch's intuition, but I think now would be the right time to tell him that I have a boyfriend.
It doesn't have to be a big deal. I can just casually introduce it into the conversation, such as, my dad doesn't know, and neither does my boyfriend. Or, will you excuse me for a second? I have to call my boyfriend. Or maybe, did I mention I have a boyfriend?
Now. Okay, now. Now.
His hand is still on my shoulder. I have to get it off. How am I supposed to do that without mentioning I have a boyfriend? I glance at my watch. It's almost 6 in New York. Gosh, it's late, I blurt out. I have to go.
His hand drops to his lap. I push my chair back, slip my shoes back on.
Ouch.
Stand up and pick up my clutch from the table. I gotta get back to my dad.
Have you seen Miri?
The band starts playing a slow song. He puts his hand back on my shoulder. One dance before you go.
But I have a boyfriend. I should leave this second. But if I leave now, Miri won't get to have her slow dance with Pra.
Before I realize what's happening, my right hand is in his. My arm is around his neck, and we're dancing. I am dancing with someone who's not Raph. I'm slow dancing with someone who's not Raph.
It feels nice, easy, safe.
It's just a dance.
His hand is warm. He pulls me in a little closer. He smells good, musky and outdoorsy. And the muscles in his arm feel...
Ack! Don't care. What's wrong with me? I close my eyes and picture Raph. My boyfriend, Raph.
He might not be a warlock, but he's sweet and smart and creative, and he makes my heart swoon.
When the song ends, I step back immediately. Another slow song begins, and he murmurs, "One more."
"I can't," I mumble. "I really have to go. Good night."
Giggle, giggle.
"Thanks for the dance."
I head straight for Miri and Pra.
"Excuse me. Sorry to interrupt. We have to go."
Miri and Pra are startled out of their embrace. They both have dopey looks on their faces.
"Already?"
She glances at her watch.
"It's late."
Pra reluctantly lets her go.
"You'll be at Losatia tomorrow, though, right?"
"Yeah."
They're looking at each other like they've just turned on the TV and discovered a new favorite show.
"Bye,"
she murmurs.
"Bye, Miri,"
he says softly.
"We should transport from the terrace," I say. "No reason to go all the way downstairs."
We push through the dancing crowd.
How lucky all these people are not to have to go home.
Not to have anyone to lie to. Miri's lips are set in a long, straight line.
"What?"
"You got mad at me for hanging around when you were saying goodnight to Raph. I think you'd know better when I was trying to say goodbye to Corey."
"Who's Corey?"
"Pra. He has a first name, you know."
"Oh. Oh, my God. She wanted to kiss him."
"I'm so, so sorry, Mir."
I smile. She gets a worried look on her face.
You think he likes me, right?
Mary, you danced the entire night. He did not talk to anyone but you. He likes you. Can we talk about this later? We have a train to pretend to be on. Dad is expecting to pick us up at 6:20. I pulled the traveling concoction and Karen's note out of my clutch. Look what I got. It's called the ghost bell.
Is that what we saw them using last week?
Yep. Ready?
Goodbye, Paris. Goodbye, city of love.
Who is this lovesick tourist? And what has she done with my grumpy sister? I toss the mixture into the air above us and chant, through space we flow. To the Port Washington, Long Island Railroad Station, we shall go. I feel the familiar rush of cold, and then whoosh! We are sucked into the air, and the next thing I know, we are standing in a bathroom stall in the train station. Ew, I say. A piece of toilet paper is stuck to my heel.
Could have been worse, Mary says. Could have been the men's.
Mir, you have some of the spell still in your hair. I pluck at the dandruff-like flax. Note to self. Don't use this spell when wearing black. Is it on me? After she picks it off, we check ourselves out in the bathroom mirror, and we're ready. Her eyes go wide.
Rachel!
Mary!
Why are we in these dresses?
Did the ghost spell wipe out her memories?
Because we were at the sim?
She flicks my arm.
I mean, what's our reason for Dad?
Unless you want to tell him the truth.
My heart speeds up. Now? No, definitely not. Let me think.
We should just tell him. He'll be excited. Trust me, I know he will.
Her eyes are lit up with so much hope and love that it makes me nervous. Mary has always kept my dad on a bit of a pedestal. Nothing is ever his fault. It's always Jennifer's. But what if we do tell him? And what if he doesn't react the way Mary thinks he will? What will happen to Mary? Mary, I say carefully, we can't just tell him now. That's insane. It's too spur of the moment. We need to think it through. She sighs.
We'll just tell him we went to a party.
Why are we at a dress-up party that ends at 6? That makes no sense. Let's use the transformation spell to change into something more casual. She hugs her new outfit with her arms.
No way! I'm not zapping this dress.
Oh, sure. My wardrobe was fine to play magical chairs with, but her dress is too precious. Then let's just go home and change.
By magic?
No, by train. Of course by magic. And then we'll come right back. I check the time on my phone. We have 7 minutes. We'd better be fast. I toss the concoction into the air and chant, through space we flow. To our apartment in New York we shall go. Vroom! I feel like I'm in a race car with this spell.
This stuff makes me dizzy,
Mary says as our feet land on our bathroom floor. It helps to close your eyes, I say, opening mine. But why do you think we keep ending up in bathrooms?
Maybe because it's private, so no one will see us? Like Superman's phone booths?
Ha. But what if someone is using the bathroom? Like Lex. Gross.
Hey, it's Friday night. What if he's here right now? What if they're...
She wiggles her eyebrows. Gross to the power of two. No time to throw up. We gotta move. Mom! I scream. Are you home? We're here. No answer. That had better mean they're out and not otherwise engaged. I throw open the door. The lights are all off, and my mom's door is open. All clear. Mary motions to her back.
Unzip me.
I undo her dress, she undoes mine, and then we both run to our respective rooms, throw on jeans and tops, and meet back in the hallway. Ready? I ask, gasping for breath.
Ready!
I toss the concoction again. Through space we flow. To the Port Washington Long Island Railroad Station we...
Wait!
Mary yells. What?
Try specifying a place not in the bathroom.
But I don't mind the bathroom. We don't want to pop up in a public place or on the train tracks and get run over.
Squashed like grape,
she says, and then laughs. Like what? I ask.
It's a Karate Kid reference. Corey would get it.
Begin rolling of eyes. I try again. Through space we flow. To the Port Washington Long Island Railroad Station, we shall go. With a jolt, we return to a bathroom stall in the railway station. I creak open the door and spot a woman applying lipstick in front of the mirror. Hello, I say nonchalantly. She ignores us. I hurry out, push open the bathroom door, rush to the above-ground platform, and hide behind a pillar while we wait for the train to arrive. I check my phone. With a minute to go! Way to go, us! We are the masters.
We are pretty good, she agrees. So, she says, what's the story with you and Adam?
My heart speeds up, but I try to ignore it. No story. Why would you ask that?
I saw you dancing with him. Slow dancing.
It was just a dance, I say, paying way too much attention to the tracks.
Does he know you have a boyfriend?
She asks. I shrug. It hasn't come up. I feel her eyes on me.
It hasn't come up, or you haven't told him?
The train pulls in, so I don't have to answer. The passengers file out, and we join their march down the stairs to the parking lot. We spot Dad, Jennifer, and Prissy waiting by the car. Could we have planned this any better? We might never take the train again. Why should we? We'll just pretend to be on it. We wave and hurry over.
Hi, girls, he says.
Hi, Dad, we chirp. Jennifer looks at us and then around us. Where are your bags? Miri and I look down at our empty hands and then at each other. Whoopsies. We were so busy getting ready for the party that we forgot to pack. Sure, we leave toothbrushes and pajamas at Dad's, but never good clothes. Because why would we need good clothes in Long Island? If we liked them, we'd want to wear them to school.
Did you forget your bag on the train?
Dad asks, getting ready to sprint for it. No, I say. We forgot them at home. Both Jennifer and my dad look at us as though we are total morons.
Your homework, too?
Dad asks. Yep, I say. Dad shakes his head.
That was dumb.
Yep, we admit.
You can borrow whatever you want of mine, Jennifer offers.
Me too,
Prissy chirps.
Borrow mine. I have a princess dress, and it's pink, and it would look pretty on both of you.
Excellent. Miri and I will be sharing a princess dress to Sam Sorta lessons. We'll look really hot. Not that I care about looking hot, because I don't. My dad unlocks the doors with a click.
I'm getting you guys some new vitamins. B12 is good for forgetfulness.
Maybe we'll get you some new clothes, too, Jennifer says. Clothes you can leave here. Yay! Jennifer is so thoughtful. And we should forget our stuff more often. You know, I say, climbing into the back seat, I could really use a pair of black jeans.